in 5. Nick, it is May 6, 2017. We are here in the West Side studios of Puke and the Gang. We are on hiatus, though, so this is actually the end of the show. Thank you for coming out to News with Nick. It has been great, but we are on hiatus, so I've done no prep. Let's see who's in the chat. Brandon Walsh in the chat. Let's see. That's it. Oh, no, wait. My participants list is either bugged or everybody left.
I see Brigitte LaRouge in the chat. No?
No, I think we're fine. Oh, Bridget is here. Hello.
Hello. I just uninstalled the Ustream app from my phone. Was that a good move?
Yes. We're never using Ustream again. We are done with it because you know what it would do? It would listen in, and if it would hear the word pee, it would say, here's a bedwetting ad. It would listen to our show and then give our listeners ads related to the content.
And... worth a mention, happy second annual Shame a Share Day.
Absolutely. So I have that on the notes here. So it is Shame a Share Day.
It's a good intro, though, I think.
Yes, May 6, 2016 was the first Shame a Share. I haven't found any sharers yet, though, to shame. I got a couple, but most of them are very, very depressed.
I'm going to shame CV Ramen right now.
Okay.
For sharing my share of Shame a Share Day.
No, but wait, if you share the shame of share, that's...
who cares? He's shamed.
That's the irony. That you're supposed to share that.
Yeah, well, I'm making it unfunny by...
Ninetales says, I shame to share.
Nicole! Hey, Nicole.
Nicole is in the chat. Okay, yes, very good. Sorry. Nicole is in the chat as well, and so is Joe. So, shame of share all you guys. Hashtag shame of share. Tag, for anyone who wasn't around last year, this is when you tag a person on Facebook... you know who they are. They're usually fat. They're usually depressed. They're usually saying every 2 weeks they're going, guess what? I'm back on my diet. 2 hours later, they share one of those videos where someone dumps a bunch of chocolate into a bowl and then they snap their fingers over the bowl and it just becomes melted chocolate, right? And then you haven't seen this?
Never.
On Facebook. So it's like a recipe, but it's in 1 minute. They do it all real quick, like.
Uh-huh,
uh-huh. So you dump the chocolate in, you snap your fingers, it's melted chocolate.
Right, like your cuts that you hate so much.
Sure, yeah, but it's food style.
Sure, got it.
Then they dump in graham crackers, and they dump in marshmallows, and then they dump in more chocolate, and then they dump in more marshmallows, and then they dump in...
no, I can imagine it, but no, I've never
chips,
seen it.
Mm-hmm. And then they pour it all over roasted bacon or something.
Sounds
and they go,
right.
Mm-mm. And I go, I guess you're not on your diet anymore. Because you just shared, well, I guess sharing a video of food does not necessarily make you fat. Because I watch a lot of porn, and I don't have very many AIDS yet.
Good one.
Okay.
I have a question.
Yes.
Shall we shame some others for not sharing? Or, well, for sharing, but a different kind of sharing?
Sorry.
Joe and Nicole.
Sorry.
Do you share a PCL account? Are we only getting $5 out of the two of you together?
I hope not. They better not be sharing.
Anyway, I wouldn't hold it against you personally.
Don't shame a sharer if you're sharing a PCL account, yes. Because we need more money. Oh, so anyway, it's these fat people, and then the way you know that they're a sharer is if you go to their page and you scroll and you're like, I remember this person posted something yesterday that I wanted to look at again, and you're scrolling, and it's just all posts from today, and it's just images or videos. And it's not their own content. It's just like, a picture of a sky. I don't even need to do it. There's no point. So anyway, that's that.
I have a question.
Yes.
Is it harder to shame a sharer now because of these fancy style, meme style status updates that like have the block of color and then
because you can't tell if it's
exactly.
A share or not.
Yeah.
I think,
uh-huh.
No.
Okay.
It's just as easy. You know. Okay. So healthcare bill passed the House this week. This is called Trump Care. Everyone's very, very mad. Because there's all these pre-existing conditions that are apparently in the bill that I haven't even read because I'm not a very good news person. Have you read any of the actual verbiage?
No, I haven't read the verbiage myself.
Crap. Well, anyway, they're saying rape, C-sections, depression, stuff like that. They're all pre-existing conditions, and people are very mad. Now, obviously, the case of pre-existing conditions is like, well, if you have a pre-existing condition, like you're about to die of cancer, and you're going to need... hundreds of thousands of dollars in chemo, why should you be allowed to get insurance? just because it's nice to do that. It is nice to do that, but that isn't insurance then. I don't know. It's charity.
Well, insurance is charity in and of itself, right? It's other people paying for the people who use the thing and they don't use it, like welfare or food stamps or anything, right? Like,
well, welfare and food stamps and now health insurance is all mandated stuff and highly regulated.
I mean, obviously it's not the same in that it doesn't come necessarily, it doesn't come from taxpayers. It comes from other people involved in the insurance or subscribing to the insurance, but it is still charity in the sense of you pay for, if you don't use it, you're still paying for other people who do.
Right. Anyway, I don't know. Anyway, they're passed this Trump care bill. But anyway, Trump comes up to the microphone, and this is kind of big news. He goes, "Hey, guys, how am I doing?" And here's the audio of him at this thing.
A politician for a short period of time. How am I doing? Am I doing okay? I'm president. Hey.
He's like, "Hey, everyone, tell me I'm doing okay."
Short period of time. How am I doing? Am I doing okay? I'm president. Hey, I'm president. Can you believe it, right?
I'm president. Can you believe it, right?
Classic.
And look at Paul Ryan and everyone behind him. We're going to play it one more time. Everyone just laughs like, "Oh, Trump, yeah, you're the president. We love you."
For a short period of time. How am I doing? Am I doing okay? I'm president. Hey, I'm president.
Paul Ryan's just nodding his head going, yes,
he looks happy.
You're fine.
Oh, that's great.
I don't know. I thought you needed a little bit more time. They always told me more.
I'm president. Can you believe it? Now, the first time I heard this clip, I was in bed, and you know how the radio turns on sometimes when you're in bed and you don't fully process the information that's going through?
Mm-hmm.
So when I heard the clip, what I heard was, "Hey, everyone, my parents are dead. Can you believe it? Like, I'm president. My parents are dead." And I'm like, why would he say that?
Well, because it's true, first of all.
Well, yeah, but why would you? "Hey, everyone, healthcare bill and my parents are dead. Can you believe it?"
Well, because that's obviously what is in your subconscious fears.
What? Rude. That I'm going to be the president?
I don't have the drops.
Three 14-year-old boys and one 15-year-old boy are accused of running an elaborate drug ring inside the Douglas County Middle School, which they attend. Douglas County Sergeant Jesse Hambrick released a photo of the .9 millimeter handgun he said deputies found loaded in the backpack. .9 millimeter? He means 9 millimeter, right? Now, I'm no handgun expert. But
it does have a decimal.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Chatter's right in. Let's listen to the video.
Well, Tom, developing in Douglas County, deputies have arrested four teenagers for allegedly distributing marijuana at Chestnut Long Middle School. Now, the sheriff's office tells us a 14-year-old boy.
Is that news? Distributing marijuana?
Well, sure, especially because they're quite young, right? And I mean, they're in the school zone, so it's like a bigger penalty.
Whatever, it's marijuana.
They had a gun and drugs on him when they picked him up at school.
Oh, it's mostly the gun.
Fox 5's Portia Bruner just got some new details in this case. And Portia, really disturbing accusations against these teens.
Yeah.
Let me stand directly in front of a Hummer and a helicopter, and I'm going to record this now.
That's how you know it's like real reporting.
When you think about the ages of the people charged in this crime, listen to this. We're talking about three 14-year-olds and one 15-year-old, all boys, all charged with basically running a drug distribution sting right here at their middle school. And I want you to...
They were running a drug distribution sting. Do you hear?
Yeah, I did.
The drug distribution ring, right?
Oh, Jesus.
0.9 millimeter.
She was doing quite good before that.
What is going on? This place is hiring nobody.
Running a drug distribution sting right here at their middle school. And I want you to take a look at the picture of this 9mm handgun. Deputies say they discovered it loaded in the backpack of a 14-year-old student at Chestnut Log Middle School last week. Now, here's how this all started.
That is funny. If you're doing the drug distribution ring, why are you carrying the gun, too? Are you just trying to be cool at that point?
Not necessarily.
Is there another drug distribution ring in the school that hasn't been caught
right.
yet?
Maybe he's just watching his back, I guess.
He has to.
Just in case shit goes down.
Watching his backpack.
Nice.
On April 26th, deputies received a tip about a boy with a gun at school. Sergeant Jesse Hambrick says investigators detained the boy just before the end of the school day, and they say that's when they discovered less than a half an ounce of marijuana packaged for distribution. along with cash that amounted to less than $200.
Why does she keep saying less than?
Well,
now it's sounding less and less impressive.
Right. Well, surely that's like the some kind of threshold, right, with a certain penalty. But I don't know if the prices are the same as in my day. Half an ounce has got to be about $150.
The following day, three other male students also detained after investigators say they discovered evidence that those boys were selling boys, selling drugs rather than the boy arrested the day before. Now the
sergeant says the best news story ever.
The arrest and the very serious charges these boys are facing will send a strong message to parents about what kids.
I'm skipping ahead. I hope they have men on the street interviews.
When you give kids, when you let them see these things and then you don't address them. Then it can become a problem.
Now, back to the lady.
The reference to what the boys are allegedly doing with a cell phone and conspiracy to distribute marijuana and a RICO charge. That means they believe this was a very organized scheme. We'll have much more on this.
Wow.
Right. Thanks for not breaking down that abbreviation. I think that might have been
I don't know what RICO is,
right?
Yeah.
It's a, maybe everyone in that state or whatever knows what it is.
Chat, please write in.
BTW, Joseph Sampson does let us know that a .9 mm is less than 1 mm. Very small handgun. Sad. I don't know if he's being a smartass.
He is.
Okay. Thanks.
And they said in the video it was 9 mm.
Perfect.
Right. Yes. Okay, so anyway, apparently, I bet you this is just like, you know how kids come home from school and they go, Mom, Dad, we got this new fundraiser. We have to sell these chocolate bars. And Mom and Dad go, I'll bring it to work, son, and I'll sell it to my coworkers. And then they just sell it immediately. This comes into my work all the time.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter's doing her thing for the Girl Scouts. Come on in and order the candles and the stuff.
Candles? They have candles?
I don't know. They have everything. But it's always chocolate and candles. Anyway. This is the reverse of that. The parents are growing some pot, and they're like, kids.
Ah, good call.
Kids, do you know anyone who wants some pot?
Go hawk our drugs. Sure.
Go into school, and also, here's a gun.
Right. No, I was going to say, someone would have had to, they said it's very organized, someone would have had to given them this gun. But yeah, you're probably right. Good call that it is the parental units.
Can you, or if they're doing it on their own, they're like expert gardeners and businessmen. They should be putting those skills to something better, like Minecraft.
What state is this? I'm sorry.
Does... I don't remember.
All right. Chat right in. What state was that?
Whoa. What was that? Did something just fall in the house? That was very loud.
There's branches all over the stairs, so I think these trees are weak. So
yikes.
I don't know.
I wish that a tree fell in Puke's house while we were doing the show. That would be amazing. All right, you told me about this story. Missing California 5-year-old boy. Gone for nearly 2 weeks.
Armazan Andresian.
Sorry?
That's
that's his name.
Yeah, the vowels aren't where you don't pronounce the vowels.
As
where
police
they are.
Offer a $10,000 reward. Look at this kid. He has got
adorable
some
though.
Arm fat.
He's pudgy. He's very cute.
He needs to do his tries.
So yeah, this case keeps getting more and more mysterious. I've been keeping up to date with it
right. Well,
daily.
Let me read Go what ahead. people.com Sorry. Has and then you tell us. The last time anyone saw
Andresian
Jr., he was enjoying himself at Disney World. The 5-year-old
land. They wrote it wrong. It's Disneyland.
Well, I guess this article's shit then.
Sorry, I didn't have time to peruse them beforehand.
The 5-year-old and his father spent April 20th at the theme park and left around midnight. This was nearly 2 weeks ago, and the boy hasn't been seen since. Now authorities are offering a $10,000 reward for information. Here's a picture of him. Reward, $10,000, information wanted, missing juvenile. And now there's a picture of him, a picture of his dad, father of missing juvenile, and a picture of an actual vehicle. Literally the caption just says actual vehicle. Uh-huh. It doesn't say how the car is related to the case. All it says is vehicle.
Because, well, it's the father's car. That's all.
Okay, so the flyer says detectives of the Los Angeles County Sheriff's. So it must have been Disneyland if it was in L.A.
Correct.
Are seeking assistance for locating the above missing juvenile. The missing juvenile was last seen on the evening of April 20th when he was in the custody of his father. The father was seen driving a blah. Oh, it does say how. Yeah, I should have read the text. The father was initially detained and has been released from police custody, but the whereabouts of the juvenile are unknown. Offering a $10,000 reward in exchange for any information leading to the blah, blah, blah. Last week, they arrested the boy's father on suspicion of one count of child endangerment and one count of child abduction. Days later, they released him with insufficient evidence. Okay. So you've been following the story. So it sounds like he left Disneyland.
Right.
The dad killed him, threw him in a river, and no one can find him.
I don't agree with that particular theory. Since the father's been released from jail, so the father was found the next morning after Disneyland, supposedly, quote, passed out or unconscious in a park. There's no accusations from the police as to why he was passed out or unconscious. No drugs or alcohol. Surely they must have tested him upon his detainment. So that's a mystery. They kept him for several days, the father, in custody, and he was giving contradictory statements, but they have searched the father's house as well as a campground that the father was seen at the day before, and they dragged the lake and everything.
Is this their only son, their only kid?
I imagine it is their only kid. There's also contradicting ages. If we look back in the mugshot, it says the father's 34. Then in the story, it says he's 35. Yes. Ooh. So there's the parents are having a custody dispute, and the mother will not go on record making any statements whatsoever. I think my feeling is because she's afraid of retaliation. The police's theory is that the father stashed the child with family members because of this custody dispute.
Oh.
But the most bizarre part about it is his passed outness, in my opinion, I guess. But since the father was released from jail, he has changed his story and says he actually does recall being with the child that morning that right. He was passed out.
He says, in one moment, I was at the park with my son, and then I found myself waking up in Huntington Memorial Hospital hours later. But has anyone said what injuries he had
exactly.
that caused
no.
him to be knocked out?
None whatsoever. The police haven't said.
So he could have just gone to sleep. He could have just gone to the park and been like, I think I'll take a nap right here.
I mean, I think he was faking being unconscious. However, the police do describe, I mean, they detained him because it was like they thought he was going to be in danger to his safety because he must have really been convincingly acting out of sorts. I'm not sure. They're kind of foreign. I mean, they're Armenian. And interestingly, this was the day before the anniversary of the so-called Armenian genocide. Interesting coincidence. So okay. I personally think they're never going to find this kid, dead or alive.
Whatever. No, he's fine.
That's my opinion.
They'll find him easy.
It's a fascinating case.
His body will be found.
The police are completely baffled with this case. They've never seen anything like it.
That a kid's missing Casey Anthony.
They can't find a body. There's no witnesses who've seen him.
How long did it take to find Casey Anthony's kid?
I have
kid?
No idea. I didn't follow.
I'm pretty sure it was longer than 2 weeks, but I'm not actually sure at all. Chat right in. How long did it take Casey Anthony from original missing to... Although, wasn't it the case that they didn't even report him missing for a while? But anyway, the point is, he's going to be dead, I'm betting you. And this guy's did it.
I think he's already in Armenia.
They put him on a boat. I don't even know where Armenia is, but I don't know
technically
if you can get there
it's
by
in
boat.
Asia.
Okay.
Next story.
We'll be following that. Aha! One of three golden tickets found from a Vermont chocolatier. The first of the three golden tickets hidden in chocolate bars made by a Vermont company has been found. Remember this movie? I don't know if anyone's heard of it. It's called Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
I think I've seen it maybe once.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah.
Wait, did you see the Johnny Depp version?
No, the
original. Nobody would see that. Man, I've seen the original like 10 times. It goes Jurassic Park, Willy Wonka.
Yeah, Willy Wonka's pretty old school though, huh? For you. It's certainly older than Jurassic Park.
Under that is Ocean's 11.
I mean, the guy who played Willy Wonka's dead, so.
I'm pretty sure everyone from that movie is dead. But the ticket found Wednesday, blah, 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 blah. Sorry, the first of three golden tickets hidden in a chocolate bar is made by a Vermont company has been found. So how genius. So you're a chocolate company. How has it taken anyone 50 years to think of, hey, guys, we should do a golden ticket thing?
I would have thought it'd be illegal or something. I mean, not to be like toeing that line or whatever, but.
But the ticket has been found Wednesday by Katrina Reginal, and it gives her free parking for a year in the town of Brattleboro.
Fascinating. That's near where we are right now, right?
Right. I got a ticket. What do I get? You can have a spot in our parking lot.
With the ticket, you get no tickets.
There are former reports that 1,000 limited edition chocolate bars were created designed to get people excited about exploring local independent businesses. Three tickets contain the golden tickets.
This is Bernie Sanders' idea.
The promotion, which ends May 14th, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Next story. Second golden ticket found.
Who would have thought? Wow.
Isn't that funny? Oh, my God. They're posing with it.
I'm happy for them. Look at them.
It's not the lottery. You literally win a parking spot in downtown.
I don't think there's much to do in Brattleboro, Vermont. Yeah.
Well, apparently there is because a parking spot is worth posing with a golden ticket.
They look like they ate their way to that ticket, no?
Oh, yeah. Look at that guy's buttons. Oh, my goodness.
He's pushing maximum density of that sweater. Boogie Schaefer? Is that what it says?
That's what his name says.
Wow.
Well, the girl's name is Kim
Butts.
Kim Butts.
Even better.
And Boogie Schaefer.
Usually the last name Butts is
says he's saying, Pakistani. I've got a golden ticket after he found the second golden ticket. Of course he did. Because anyone would.
They look like fans.
But nobody should admit to that. I was Charlie Bucket that day, Schaefer says, naming the main character, blah, blah, blah. The Brattleboro couple share a car, so splitting the prize valued at $400 won't be free downtown parking. Valued at $400 won't be an issue. So free parking for a year is worth $400, apparently. Butts is a manager at Brattle Burger, and Schaefer is employed at the Works Bakery Cafe.
They are eating all kinds of pastries, burgers, and chocolate.
I want to call these people.
They should be fatter, actually, by all accounts.
The day before the contest launched, I saw it on Instagram. I thought it was pretty cool.
You guys should hang out, Nick.
Butts went to Boomerang and saw Taverner Chocolate's limited edition chocolate bar. Brattleboro golden ticket at the counter. Boomerang is one of the businesses participating in the promotion. I opened mine first, which was a loser, Butts said. Sadly, added Schaefer, who opened his chocolate bar that night and found he took it home. He's like, I'm not going to open it yet.
They wanted to scratch it off together.
He opened the chocolate bar that night and found a golden ticket. I said, holy crap. Quote, actual quote. Schaefer and Butts said his neighbors did not believe him at first. Butts said she thought her boyfriend was kidding with them. This is the dumbest article. This is what happens at parking in this stupid town where the news is, I got a golden ticket worth parking and my neighbors didn't believe me, is the biggest story. I can't believe parking's worth that much. I could park downtown Keene. Keene's way better than Brattleboro, I think, except there's less gays. Less gays.
Fewer gays.
If you mixed up all the gays and poured them into a vat, it's less gays. Right?
Way to collectivize.
What are you doing? Do we need to take a break? All right, we're going to take a quick break while we sort out the electrical issues live stream. Just chill for a sec. Boop! Boop! All right, we are back from that quick break. Sorry about that. News story.
It was the middle of the night when Aaron Hernandez was found. At 3:03 a.m., a corrections officer observed a sheet hanged in front of Hernandez's cell door. The officer poked at a piece of the sheet. The sheet fell.
So wait, he'd hung a sheet over the prison door so you couldn't see through?
This guy really was thorough with all this.
So we're talking about the modern-day O.J. Simpson, right? Aaron Hernandez is probably the next O.J. Simpson. Well, he was the next O.J. Simpson, but instead he decided to go the way of Ariel Castro and do himself in that jail.
Ariel Castro is a football player?
No. Oops, I meant to play. Anyway, Aaron Hernandez found dead in his cell, but we have some new developments about this. And of course, he was the football player who killed... He killed allegedly two people, right? Then he killed a third person to try to cover up the killing of the two people. He was convicted on killing the third person, and then he was acquitted on killing the two people. So apparently killing the third person to cover up the killing of the two people worked.
Right.
Because he was found not guilty, talking to the mic.
He was found not guilty.
Because he was found not guilty of killing the original two. Because he killed the third. Well, not because,
so he really effed himself. I gotcha. That's fascinating. I don't know the details very well in this story. Cool.
It's impossible to know how the trial of the two would have gone if he hadn't killed the third. Because that may have been like a star witness or something. I don't know.
That's when the officer saw Hernandez hanged naked from the window. He used one of his bed sheets.
Why would you get naked? Like, I'd really like to kill myself, but I want the guy to find me to see my flaccid.
I think he's a sociopathic narcissist, this person. So he thinks he's got a kick and bod. Surely he's been working out. I mean, obviously he was already fit to begin with, and he's been working out with his gay boyfriend in prison.
What? That's hot.
The floor of his cell was covered in shampoo. Hernandez was then cut.
That was nice of him. He's like, it'll be easy to clean up.
I don't know how. Well, I guess he probably had a lot. He probably had tons of money in his commissary. But, you know, I think prison shampoo bottles are pretty small. But surely he could buy like all kinds of ramen up in that bitch.
What if every time you go to the hotel shower, the prison shower, there's shampoo there and you just sneak it out?
Well, that's.
And you just collect a ton and a ton.
Don't drop the shampoo. No, they don't just give you shampoo. Level you have one. To buy all that stuff. As my understanding.
So wait, if you have no money, you just shower with cold water and no shampoo or soap?
Right. I mean, you barter that you probably give in BJs, you know, and stuff like that. Yes. I mean, they'll give you free stamps if you're indigent, is what they call it. Indigent prisoners who have no money in their commissary.
Soap stamps?
Well, no, all I know is that they'll give you free postage stamps.
Oh, postage. Okay.
Right. I mean, I'm sure it varies from location to location. You live right near the jail here. Let's go ask.
Okay. You want to go up there? We'll be like, excuse me, but if I have no money in my commissary, can I shower here? And they're going to be like, what are you talking about? You don't even live here.
They're going to tell you, spread your butt cheeks. And I'll decide.
You think that if my shower was broken, I could go to the jail and be like, can I borrow your shower?
No, I don't think that. I'd go to the hospital if you needed a shower.
Well, I'd go to the gym.
I've gone to the gym, actually, when I didn't have a membership, when our shower wasn't working, and they let me use it.
Probably you were very pushy.
My mother asked on my behalf a long time ago.
Sure. Now, whenever I'm at the gym, that stupid little pump doesn't work anymore in the Planet Fitness. So every time I'm in the shower...
Pump?
Yeah, so it's a dispenser on the wall.
Oh, right, sure.
Right, and the pump doesn't work.
Right.
So I pop the top open that they refill it from, and I look in there, it's like full.
Do you test different stalls, or you just keep, like the one stall with the broken pump? Or every pump doesn't work, you're saying?
I get into whatever one's available.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Sometimes I accidentally get into one where there's another man in it.
Right.
But that's when I slipped.
Because there's just the one, like it's the gay creepers. They break all the other ones, so guys will jump in the shower with them.
Yeah, I need some soap. So I pop it open, I look in, it's like, it's full, so I just start sticking my hand in the top and scooping soap out onto my body.
Right. I don't know what you're paying for with this membership if they ain't got a working pump. Just saying.
I don't know.
Well, another reason Brett should hate it. Mm-hmm.
The pumps are awful. Yeah, I don't get it. Anyway, so Aaron Hernandez covers the floor of his cell in soap so that if he decided he didn't want to kill himself at the last second, he wouldn't be able to turn back.
I think this is very admirable.
Like, he wouldn't be able to get a grip. On the floor.
Cut down by the officers, and they began to perform chest compressions.
Can you imagine? He's on the floor, covered in soap, naked, and the guards are over him, kneeling in soap, going, "Live! Live!" Actually, they're
you
probably,
motherfucker.
They're probably not doing that. Would that be funny if they were? Please live, even though they know he's dead for sure.
They're like, check. Oh, I was going to say check his pockets because he's rich, but actually he's naked.
Doesn't it suck that when you're a cop... and you find a dead boy and it's only him and his mother and you have to continue to do CPR on him even though you know he's gone just so that the mother will have hope?
I never thought about that.
Hernandez was rushed to a nearby hospital where he was pronounced dead at 4:07 a.m. Video surveillance of Hernandez's cell block shows that no one entered his cell after 8 p.m., but at some point between the 1 a.m. and 3 a.m. cell checks, Hernandez had methodically created an elaborate suicide scene. Hernandez's right middle finger had a fresh cut with blood on his hand. Investigators found a Bible in the cell. You were looking at the front cover. The Bible opened to John 3:16 with blood marking the verse.
It's a code.
Way to be original, Aaron Hernandez.
I know, John 3:16. Why not like... you know, Acts 8:4.
Right, but I'm sorry, I'm sure they'll get to it, but...
The one where Judas' blood spilled all over the field.
So, yeah, not very original citing in the Bible, but perhaps... But I think pretty epic on his forehead, no?
I keep missing the play button. I'm so sorry, folks.
The Bible were three handwritten notes. One of those letters written to his fiancée was released today in legal filings.
Shay, you have always been my soulmate.
Nice handwriting.
And I want you to live life and know I'm always with you. I told you what was coming indirectly. I love you so much and know that you're an angel eternally. We split into two to come change the world. Your characteristics is that of a true angel and the definition of God's love. Tell my story fully, but never think anything weird. Anything beard-er? Anything other? Anything besides?
Besides, yeah.
How much I love you. This was the Supremes, the Almighty's plan, not mine. I love you. Let blank know how much I love her. Huh?
Oh,
probably her daughter. His daughter? Her daughter?
He's got the fiance. Well, I know he's got a fiance who inexplicably to me, her last name's already Hernandez. And then I think this one must be to his baby mama if they're talking about the child, because the baby mama is a different person than the fiance.
This is to Shay.
I don't know who Shay is.
I don't know. Look after blank and blank for me. These are my boys, and you're rich.
I knew I loved you equals Savage Garden.
I knew I loved you equals Savage Garden. Or
no, with the Coca-Cola. Savage Garden, remember, folks? Y'all know.
Shay, you have always been my soulmate, and I want you to live life.
We're ready for
an upcoming weekend visit by his fiance and daughter. That visit never happened.
Duh.
Despite these positives, his reality was rather grim. He was serving a life term for first-degree murder. One inmate told police that shortly before lock-in that final night, Hernandez came to his cell door saying what could have been his final words. Remember, when you die, your soul gets reincarnated.
I don't think it says that in the Bible.
No, certainly not.
I just have one comment on all this.
No, we're done with the video.
So they didn't mention, that supposedly he carved John 3:16 into his forehead. Was he looking in the mirror to do that? And wouldn't it be funny if he had done it backwards?
Did he carve it or did he just draw it with a Sharpie?
I don't know. I think I only heard it once. Either way, I mean, I hope he carved it, man. Don't puss out on us now with a stupid Sharpie.
Right. So whatever. Why would you be, first of all, why would you be a fiance of someone who's in jail forever? I don't get it. Like, I'm your fiance. We're going to get married, but you're in jail forever.
I mean, just then she doesn't even have to fuck him and she gets money.
Oh, for the money? So
I would imagine.
So she just likes being home with the kids. No man to take care of anything.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to the baby mama. If this fiance is taking care of, I don't know. Maybe he has children with the fiance as well, but I know he's got children from someone else who's not the fiance.
So yes. And as you mentioned, he also had a gay prison lover that I don't have any info on right now.
Neck tats on the gay prison lover who is an opioid addict, I believe.
Okay. Why would you pick that guy? Whatever.
Because he kind of looks straight. I mean, we saw his picture, right?
Oh, so. An image of him, like, I mean, nobody in jail looks gay, right?
Money. Well, the ones who look and or act gay, they often get put into what's called protective custody.
So did it on purpose?
I'm gay.
I need protective custody.
Right. Well, yeah. That's where the pedos get put and stuff like that, so they don't get murdered.
Sure.
So I think probably Aaron Hernandez had a certain kind of respect for this guy who was tough enough to be with the other men and also be like.
They're all having gay sex, right? Hopefully.
Not that the former prisoners I know will admit. And no, I'm not talking about that one y'all think I'm talking about.
Okay.
Who's famous?
Woman says she fired gun to scare teen she caught raping the neighbor's dog. Police have arrested an Arkansas woman last week after she allegedly shot at a 14-year-old boy whom she accused of trying to rape the neighbor's dog.
No, Glenna Meyer Pickens.
Carrie Lenkert, 40, was arrested on Tuesday, blah, blah, blah. On Monday, April 17th, she was arrested 8 days after this happened. The police talked to Lenkert, who said that she had spotted the teenager out her window in the neighbor's yard. She told police that the boy was in his boxers and that he was sexually assaulting the neighbor's dog. She said that the boy has done this before, so she took a gun from her safe and approached him and ordered him to get on the ground. Get on the ground! After... Sorry.
Good for her.
The warrant states, She said the boy jumped the fence, and so she went after him and fired a shot into the ground to scare him. She said the boy, so she wasn't shooting at him.
Well, I'm pretty sure, as Puke would tell us, isn't that, like, not allowed? You're not supposed to be shooting things into the ground, right? People get in trouble for that shit.
I know, yeah. It's discharging a firearm, sure.
I mean, you go to jail for that shit, right?
Yes. She said the boy ran away, leaving behind some clothes and an iPad. Why? Okay.
He's watching.
So he brought the iPad. He brought it, and then he's like, I got to strip all these clothes off in the yard and get in my boxers.
A breadstick was found.
So first of all, who cares? You're allowed to be, it's not illegal to be in your boxers with the neighbor's dog. Well, I guess it's illegal to be in the neighbor's yard if you don't have permission. I can be in my boxers with my dog.
Yeah, but it's not your dog or your property, right?
What if the neighbor said, you can take care of my dog, and then I just rubbed my penis on its leg? My mom's listening to this.
So,
is that raping the dog or not?
I think that's it's the owner's discretion. It's probably okay if you're not penetrating the animal.
It just thinks it's a bone.
Yeah, I think you're allowed to like let it lick peanut butter off your bod.
The fuck? No, you can't do that. I don't think so.
I said off your bod. I don't know.
Bod?
Yeah.
Off my nipples, maybe?
I am
or
pretty sure that as long as you're not penetrating these animals, everything's fine. I don't know. Didn't all this happen in Keene one time?
Yeah, it is not illegal in New Hampshire.
Julia, write in. Oh. Because Julia knew about that story.
Right. It's not illegal in New Hampshire to have sex with a dog.
Really?
It's only illegal to abuse a dog. So, yeah, as long as you didn't hurt it.
Hence the friendly farm.
As long as you didn't hurt it, it's fine. No! My childhood.
These goats are getting bloated.
The following exactly.
You know the thing about goats is like that they eat anything and everything. I think they mustn't never get full. Maybe they have like an innate parasite that like.
Maybe their metabolism is such that when they overeat, it just goes through quicker.
Yeah, I think so. They're always skinny and they're the devil animals. They can eat and eat and never get fat.
That's how these farms just make tons of money. You just keep selling feed for people to give to the goats.
I want to go to the llama farm. I've never petted a goat. I'm from the city.
Fine. The following day, officer spoke to the boy, who said Lenkert came around and pointed a gun at him and told him to put his hands up. The warrant states, he said he didn't see her carrying a badge, so he jumped the fence and ran away in his underwear.
He's got his arms up and he's still thrusting or whatever?
There was no claim that he got that far. He said Lenkert fired her shot, blah, blah, blah. The boy told police that when he got home, he changed clothes and told his mom a false story before meeting with officers.
I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention. How old is this kid?
14? Yeah.
He should run away with a gay teacher instead.
Exactly!
Or whomever will take him, I guess.
Or a straight. We're going to skip that story. The grave of H.H. Holmes, America's first serial killer, is scheduled to be exhumed amid rumors that he escaped execution, which is completely random, but coming out yesterday as news.
I don't know if anyone's ever heard of this guy. I haven't. I didn't know till right this moment that he was, quote, America's first serial killer. I've never heard of this person.
Have you looked him up and give us some info?
Yes, I have the Wikipedia. OMG, guess what? Tomorrow is his birthday, May 7th, 1896. That's his date of death. I apologize. But his birthday's also coming up, May 16th. Okay, so let's just see how many victims. I'm trying to see how many victims.
All right, you get some info, mm-hmm. And I'm going to read this.
Thanks.
On the morning of May 7th, as you just said, 1896, thousands of people, thousands, it's like the inauguration, gathered outside the high stone walls of the gold blah, 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 prison, I don't know how to say that word, in South Philadelphia to await the hanging. Herman Webster Mudgett, better known to the world as H.H. Holmes, or America's first serial killer, quote
Triple
unquote.
H.
We're not claiming he is America's first serial killer. He was just named America's first serial killer. It's like
switch the screen. Oh wait, that is it. Sorry. Go ahead.
Was set. I don't know what you're saying.
No. My mistake. Continue.
I've only got one screen.
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Was set to hang for the horrific murder of his late business partner. While Holmes confessed to killing 27 people, is rumored to have done more than 200 initially. Jesus. Mm-hmm. Dubbed the Murder Castle. I live in the Murder Castle. It was the death of his boss or whatever that just said that sent him to the gallows. At around 10:15 in the morning, the prison superintendent fitted the noose around his neck and the trap was sprung. After the drop, he twitched uncontrollably for 15 minutes. Well,
I think that happens.
As he strangled to death, but after 20 minutes... Uh-oh. Crap. But after 20 minutes on the rope, prison officials officially declared him dead. But was he really dead? Question mark. Rumors spread far and wide that Holmes, a master con man and manipulator, had paid off prison guards to hang a cadaver or some unsuspecting fellow inmate in his place and let him slip off into hiding. So basically, they think he paid guards and they let him go instead.
I mean, probably if he had all that money that he stole from the business partner or whatever.
So anyway,
feasible.
Apparently they're going to dig up his grave just to check. Even though by this point, wherever he went, he's dead.
Yeah,
anyway.
I mean, but how do they have DNA or whatever to prove it's him anyway? Or prove it is or isn't him?
That's a good question. So, I don't know. Anyway, do you have any info on him?
I was curious when we were just learning about it now, how this compares to, for example, Jack the Ripper is what made me think of old school killers. Seems like it was right around the same-ish time span. Jack the Ripper, 1888 to 1891. And this guy, 1891, 1894. I'm going to go ahead and say this guy's Jack the Ripper. Same person.
Well, being a serial killer used to be way cooler than it is now.
For sure. And way easier to, I think, get away with.
Well, right, because you weren't texting your mom going, hey, I'm going over to HH's house. If I don't come home, I'm murdered in his meth death castle.
Triple H. But yeah, and speaking of H, actually, so since it was so easy back then, we really should applaud that Hernandez even more so that he got away with that. Those two in this day and age.
He got away with it? Well, he didn't get away. I mean, he got found not guilty.
Right.
I suppose.
And I guess we didn't even talk about how.
Go ahead.
That Hernandez is. Perhaps going to be acquitted of all of his murders because of a Massachusetts statute or law called abatement, which states that a conviction is overturned if the accused dies before the appeals process is completed, which I guess since he had such a great lawyer for that one that he got off from, he was going to hire that lawyer to redo the first two.
Okay.
Right.
First one, yeah.
Oh, so I thought you said there was two murders, and the first trial was for two murders.
No, okay. First trial was for one. Mm-hmm. He got found guilty. Second trial was for two. He got found not guilty.
Okay, my mistake. Sorry, not that familiar.
So you're saying they were gonna appeal the one,
right?
And so it was in appeals, but since he killed himself and it was in appeals, legally he's not guilty now.
Yes, so I'm hearing, and so I have verified from several legal experts actually. But not just with that, apparently, you know, I guess with the contract with the Patriots that he was in, I'm sure the contract must state something like, we don't have to pay you if you like murder and are, charged or convicted of murder.
Oh my God. I wonder if that's in the contract.
No, it is, it must be, because they thought that they were out of having to pay him more, but since this is the legal, status of it, they may in fact have to pay him.
Oh, so his estate can come back for the money because yes. He's an innocent man.
Absolutely.
He hasn't murdered anyone
that
legally.
Will happen, I assure you.
Wow, that would be amazing. Well, maybe he'll be inducted to the Hall of Fame. I don't think he was that good. He wasn't bad, apparently.
Like a Kaepernick,
I don't remember.
Or
I'm
no
not
idea.
Really a Patriots fan. Mm-hmm. All I am a fan of is that Tony Romo trying to qualify for the U.S. Open. So he quit.
Oh, it's like Michael Jordan. What, he's playing tennis now?
I don't think. No.
Michael Jordan went from basketball to baseball. That's my comparison.
Yeah. Do you know the conspiracy theory around that?
No.
Is that Michael Jordan? The conspiracy theory is that Michael Jordan was banned from the NBA for drug use. He failed a drug test and they banned him, but they banned him quietly so that he wouldn't hurt the reputation of the league.
For
and
like steroids or illegal.
Instead,
drugs?
He just went to play. No, like steroids.
Okay. No, I've never heard that.
And then instead went to play baseball. I think it's probably not real.
No, that sounds right. But that's funny, right? Because it's those baseball players who usually have all the trouble with the steroids, right? Oh, no, that makes sense.
I don't know. Not if you're Lance Armstrong.
Well, that's the culture of the baseball. They're like, he's doing steroids. Let's bring him onto our team, so to speak.
Right.
No, that makes sense. I'll buy into that. So Tony Romo, this is the one who is married to Jessica Simpson. Is that right? Okay. All I know. Never seen him in my life.
A month after Tony Romo retires, the former quarterback is among nearly 9,500 players who signed up to play in the U.S. Open. He plays in the local qualifier on Monday. So I think it's only news just because he's famous, not because he actually has a chance of qualifying. It's like when Ben Affleck plays in like the World Series of Poker. It's like, ooh, Ben Affleck's in the World Series of Poker and he's not that bad. Well, he's not good enough to be the best in the world. Man, I miss gambling all over the place. What?
No, it's nice to hear you be so honest and vulnerable sometimes.
Yes. I used to lose hundreds and thousands of dollars online. Hundreds of thousands? No, just hundreds and thousands. Okay. Trying to play this video.
A Tennessee Amber Alert that has captivated millions of Americans. Tad Cummins, under the spotlight on ABC's 2020. New tonight, we have fresh insight on this case.
Oh, did you hear this? Last night, 2020 on ABC did a whole special on Tad Cummins, and I haven't seen it yet, and
we
gotta
watch
it.
Wow, we have to see. BTW, I have no idea who this Amber is that this is all named after.
Oh, it's some
I'm sure it's very
JonBenet Ramsey type girl, probably.
Oh, really?
I don't know.
Case. Tonight, Cummins is in federal custody on his way back to Tennessee from California, but it may be a few more days before he returns. Elizabeth Thomas has already reunited with her family.
Oh, they pick a good picture.
The 50-year-old and 15-year-old at the center of a near...
Oh, yeah, that was the best picture I've ever seen of her.
Me too, yeah.
And by the way, did you ever wonder... So there's this famous picture of him and her sitting at his desk or something.
Yeah, she looks very longingly... Like,
why? Who took this picture and why?
Probably the student who was documenting their affair, who reported them kissing. They probably just snuck it, like, because surely you could sneak that picture easily if you're just sitting across.
I bet you this was from the yearbook team. No, this how the yearbook team goes around and goes, all right, we'll get a picture of you being counseled.
Yeah, sure. I could see it being that too, but.
Check out our yearbook. Our teachers love on our kids.
He doesn't look so creepy there.
The yearbook.
Because he's not creepy at all.
Oh, I think
he's a hero.
6 week long Amber Alert. Finally discovered hiding out in a northern
Skipping
California.
Ahead.
I think the defense is going to have to try to show that they were friends. My thought is they will probably try to show that this young lady was not just running to Mr. Cummins, that she was running away from something at home.
There we go.
I'm so excited.
Mm-hmm. This is going to be good. This is going to be juicy. Oh, poor Elizabeth. For those listening who don't know, poor Elizabeth, her mother, who's estranged from their family, there's a restraining order, or not restraining order, excuse me. Elizabeth's mother has 9 other children besides Elizabeth and is not allowed to see Elizabeth because of pending child abuse charges.
What? The mother child abused?
Yes. Well, the mother's the one who's not allowed to see her, so I imagine that, yes, it's she who abused Elizabeth, and obviously... There mustn't have ever been any proof that the father did. So I think this poor girl's getting it from every direction.
Jesus. Mm-hmm.
We don't know what that is or even if it's true or not. But I think the defense will try to show that maybe there were issues at home, that he was, in fact, that perhaps it was maybe her idea that she wanted to run away.
Yeah, did she want that lube and razor from Walmart?
Is that what they got?
Yes. Lube, women's razors, and chocolate.
Oh, gross. So he had to teach her how to shave?
We can only imagine.
And that he fell into an attempt to rescue her.
I want to know about his family
I've
life.
I've seen that in the past. There's...
All right, whatever. This guy's very boring.
Yeah, I know. What's his expertise? Anyway, BTW, though, this Tad Cummins, he has 2 teenage daughters of his own, right?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just saying. So that makes it... speaking to where I said, like, they're going to inspect her troubled home life. Like, what drove him? Like, because they were obviously driven to each other.
Maybe. Well, he was driven to that other girl, remember?
Exactly. Yeah, of course I remember.
Okay.
I think that he can't help himself, but, like... I don't know. He sees himself as these girls' saviors or something. I'd like to hear more from that girl with the song, with the eyes that you can't get to the sides
of. Sure, whatever. Well, whatever. Her eyes are too big. We can't see any of them.
Have you seen her glasses? They're like half an inch thick.
Now, what I'm wondering is, so Elizabeth Thomas runs away, and I did this whole bit where if you're a girl and you run away with a man and you're 14 or 15 or whatever, then you're the victim no matter what. You could do anything. You could be sleeping with him every day.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you finally get quote unquote rescued, it's like, oh, you were victimized. We're going to protect you
mm-hmm.
and send you back home.
Yeah, I think it's a great analysis.
Now, what if in their running, like she had.
While they're in the bushes, in the car, yeah, getting effed and
right.
everything.
Mm-hmm. Now, what if she had like mugged someone or stabbed someone or shot someone? And it was like.
Or raped a dog.
Yeah. What if she had done something mm-hmm. and then she gets arrested?
Right.
And then she's like, no. I'm Elizabeth Thomas, you idiot. And they go, oh, we rescued you. I mean, but wait a minute, you're also under arrest for stabbing someone.
She wouldn't even have to say, he talked me into it. She wouldn't have to explain herself whatsoever.
Yes, what if she does say that? He told me to. Everyone hates Ted Cummins.
Right. But she could easily say, and that would maybe be the best bet, but she could probably be totally honest. I mean, it's like, what do you call it? Patty Hearst, right? It's the... My name is Tanya. She's brainwashed. Like, even if he didn't directly tell her to.
So this has happened before?
It's kind of different, but people listening who know even, I think, a moderate amount of history. Anyway, we're not going to debrief you on it now. But, yeah, and this Patty Hearst I'm talking about, she was over 18. She also had... She was from a very wealthy family, you know, the people who invented newspapers or something.
Okay.
Hearst, whatever. The point is, in this day and age where exactly like you broke it down, these girls, you know, aren't accountable whatsoever if, quote, abducted or whatever when they're underage. I mean, I'm pretty sure she could have killed, a bunch of infants or whatever.
What if she said, I stabbed an infant so that you guys would catch me and then I would be rescued?
She should have done a terrorist attack.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Of some kind. I don't know.
Sure. Sure.
We'd forgive even that is my point.
We forgive that?
We would. Yeah. She'd be able to get away with anything, even a terrorist attack, which, you know, breaks our hearts so hard.
New Jersey man accused of plotting to detonate bomb in New York City to help ISIS.
Speaking of, hey-o.
A Point Pleasant borough man has been charged with planning to build a bomb in support of ISIS and detonate it in a busy spot in New York City, authorities said. What? So far, here's the information we have.
Well, he's got a Polish name, so I'm confused.
Charged with planning to build a bomb. Gregory Lepsky, 20, not even old enough to drink, barely old enough to marry. Is charged with one count of attempting to provide material support to a designated foreign terrorist organization. The complaint released on Friday accuses him of pledging support to ISIS and plotting to construct a pressure cooker bomb. Yes, pressure cooker bomb. Is ISIS using these now?
I don't know. Can I read the quote, though, when you get to the part with the quote?
The alleged plan came to light on February 21st after one of Lesby's relatives called police to report that he had a weapon and threatened to kill the family dog.
Oh, my God. What's with this violence on dogs, people?
Responding... Police officers eventually convinced Lepsky to leave the house. When he did, he came emerged with a bloody arm,
pussy.
The complaint said.
Uh-huh.
While he was being treated for that wound, this is a long freaking process to get to ISIS here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's going to kill the dog with a weapon. We came, he's got a bloody arm. While he was being treated for the bloody arm, he told officials at the scene that he planned to kill his mother and that he pledged allegiance to Allah.
Oh, God.
So he's just gone insane and is saying random things.
I'm pretty sure he has no actual allegiances. But, you know, these days, right, the cops are all turned off from, like, being all out of control with these, quote, crazy people, right? Because they use too much force with the crazies, with the mental illness people when their family calls.
He said he stabbed the family dog because the animal was dirty. In a search of his home, authorities found an empty stainless steel pressure cooker behind a roll of bubble wrap in his bedroom closet. So literally, they just found a pressure cooker.
Right, and that it's not illegal to have a pressure cooker in your bedroom behind bubble wrap. But what's he so pissed about this dog being dirty for? It's not like it's a pig, huh?
It's probably on its period.
Oh, yes, good call. Excellent. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
They also found in his bedroom a book titled Martyrdom in Jihad versus Suicide Bombing. The complaint said, I don't get it. Martyrdom in Jihad versus suicide bombing? Is that like they're comparing and contrasting?
This is probably a weird translation, and that's not even what it means.
Investigators also found a series of instructions that had been published online by another terrorist group that gave specific step-by-step instructions on how to build a pressure cooker bomb. Uh-oh. With coincided with the delivery of the pressure cooker. Oh, okay. This is looking worse.
Remember that one time when I worked at Macy's, the very Macy's that those marathon bombers bought their pressure cooker from, and a guy comes up to my register and tries to buy a pressure cooker, and his name was Muhammad. True story.
Did you sell him one or what? Or did you call the police immediately?
His credit card wasn't going through, but that's only because I was doing it wrong. So another old Indian fella I worked with did end up selling it to him. Absolutely.
Okay, so he did get Muhammad did get his pressure cooker?
Yes, he did.
Did you go, you shouldn't be buying that right now?
Nah, it wasn't too soon.
What if you bought a pressure cooker and
kind of a nice guy?
It's not illegal to buy a pressure cooker.
Right. Or make your mac and cheese.
And a whole ton of nails and screws.
Right. Or children.
Well, can you get nails
or
and screws
children's
at Macy's?
Underwear when you don't have any children? No, there's not a hardware department at Macy's, but if you're in the mall, you can be carrying your pressure cooker from me. Well, at Sears, though, you can get all those things, I think, at once.
It's not illegal to buy girls' underwear along with some meat and then put it in a crock pot and then cook it for 8 hours and then serve it with tongs to your friends.
And go to Times Square.
And it's just little girls' panties covered with meat and you put it on their plate and they go, what is this? I'm like, I don't know.
Art is what you say.
Right. Mm-hmm. But then they think it's a girl that you cooked, but it's really just their panties. Oh my God, what is wrong with me?
There's too much pressure on my brain right now. I couldn't fully envision all what you just said, but I feel like it was pretty epic.
Speaking of selling a bunch of pot when you're 14 and 15,
right? Did
we
finish that story?
Yes.
Okay.
So apparently he's been accused of doing things, but only because he had a guide to pressure cookers. He did stab the dog.
A guide to pressure cookers? The instruction manual?
Yeah, sure. Sir, why do you have this manual for a pressure cooker next to the pressure cooker?
Honest to God, I don't know why this friggin' marathon is such a big deal. What, like 1.5 people die? Or 2.5 people or something?
A lot of people were injured. And it was a public event, so people can relate.
Also, when I worked at Louis Vuitton, we were trying to sell a pair of this woman who lost her leg in the marathon was trying to buy a pair of shoes, and she only wanted to pay half price because she was only wanted one shoe.
All right, so do you want to go to break before we finish out this news show?
I didn't think we had that many stories left.
We do.
Okay.
Okay, so do you want to go to break? Do you have any content right now?
Well, that was the last story on my list.
Look how many tabs I still have open. Okay. So we're going to go to a quick break. I'm going to go to the bathroom because I have to.
I do too.
We're going to export the first half of the show.
Everyone uninstall Ustream from your phone. It takes up too much space. That's my tip of the day.
Oh, the app? Yeah.
Yeah.
Fine with me. Nobody uses Ustream anymore. Install Twitch.
Okay, so quick break.
Coming back for the second half in Boo! Back for the closing half of News with Nick. I'm not going to say second half because it's probably not even going to be a half, although I did say closing half, so the word half was actually the key word there, not second or closing.
Closing increment.
Incrementals. Okay. So speaking of selling a bunch of drugs to 14 and 15-year-olds, my work from time to time, especially coming up on the summer seasons, goes, hey, the college is closing out for the year. A bunch of people are probably looking for summer internships where we can get some cheap labor from these kids, right? And then we pay them back in a couple dollars, but mostly in life experience.
Oh, they actually get money.
Oh, yes. Our internships are paid.
Wow. What? I mean, is that allowed to be less than minimum wage, I'd imagine?
No.
Okay. Fascinating.
And it's not. I do know the amount it is. I'm not going to say it. But okay. It's not that much more either. So they say, hey, Nick, if we happen to come across some people who are good for the tech support role, we might want to do that because, spoiler alert on the PCL, Adam, former co-host guest slash of the show, has decided to quit.
Two-time guest. One of my favorites.
Decided to quit the company, not quit the show. Although he probably will quit the show because he's moving to New York City with no job and no plan.
Which borough?
I don't remember.
Brooklyn.
Anyway, the point, what you know?
I thought that's what you told me. I don't know. He seems like he'd be going to Brooklyn. Anyway, continue.
So anyway, He's leaving the company, and he was my backup tech support. So they say, Nick, if we have any interns, we can give you an intern. And they didn't actively advertise it. They're advertising for other roles. But people who happen to come through those roles, and they say, you know what? You might be good in this role, but you know, you have a computer science background. Let's get you hooked up with Nick. And so this kid, Brandon, let's call him, he signed up to be the videographer for the company, and he writes in and he says, I have experience in SQL, C++, and Java, and pretty much nothing in videography or video editing.
But does he speak Estonian?
No.
Yeah.
And so Jillian sends, let's call her, sends the application over to me and says, Nick, this sounds like it might be someone good for the tech support role. I'm like, ooh, perfect. I bring him in. He's so smart. He's the best man I've ever met.
How old is this kid? He's from the Keene State College?
He's got to be like 20, 21.
He's in the Keene State?
Yeah.
So he's probably entering his senior year?
Right.
Yeah, so probably 21, yeah.
Yeah. Not even entering his senior year. He's ahead on credits, meaning if he really booked his butt,
wow,
he could graduate 6 months early or whatever, whatever a semester is, like 3-4 months early.
Mm-hmm.
So he's very smart. He comes in, tells me all about his computer building skills, his history in coding, and things like that. Now, most of these people don't have any experience in sysadmining, meaning they haven't done networking or servers, which is completely fine because we're not giving an intern the admin password to the servers anyway. So it doesn't matter.
How many computers has he built?
He didn't say. He said he's been building computers for 5 years.
Very cool. Okay.
And I've only built one fully.
Yeah, and you've run one marathon.
One and a half. Yeah.
Very impressive achievements all the same.
Thank you anyway, gay. Speaking of gay, so Brandon comes in, and normally people come in with like notebooks or bags or something, and he just walks right in. I'm like, I'm here. Okay. And at first I was like, you have nothing to write with. Normally people come in with like notepads or something because it makes you look official to
have. How tall is he?
At least a notebook.
Your height?
Only slightly shorter than me.
Mm-hmm, very good.
And so I finish up with the interview.
This is like a waitress without a notepad. You're like, all right, he's got it.
I don't know.
That's impressive. Aren't you impressed if the waitress just memorizes the order?
A lot of people don't like that, but I don't think we need to get into this level one convo.
Oh.
Sorry.
I can catch my flight back to the West Coast if you'd like.
A lot of people don't like it. Not the convo. A lot of people don't like when someone's coming around doing their orders without a notepad because they screw it up.
I don't go to a lot of restaurants, but if they get it right, I'd assume it would be then after the fact impressive. Continue. Go ahead. No notepad. Uh-huh.
Anyway, so I finish up the interview. We give him the math test and everything. He does fine. So I go, okay, we're going to now meet with the human resources person so that we can give you a schedule and you can start, right? And I'm skipping a couple pieces where we like discussed him versus another candidate, blah, 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 whatever. That's not the point of the story. The point of the story is this is the first time I've gone through this with someone. I've never had someone report to me in my 11 years at working at this place, almost 12. And
right, because
I'm way smarter than the freaking managers, by the way.
Because as we established not too long ago during on show discussion when we discussed your DISC assessment.
Right, I'm a hard C, yeah.
They've never... No, well...
Sorry, go.
That your work, you've never been, that they wouldn't put you in charge of people you don't think, or they haven't ever, and they likely wouldn't ever. So that's why you're saying right now that that's what you said on the show. I don't know.
Right. And I'm going to take back the fact that they wouldn't ever, because it sounds like they're trying to actually give me someone to be in my employee, basically.
Right. So that's why it's your first time, though.
But it would be my first time hiring a person or being involved. And I basically said, Brandon, I like Brandon. Let's offer Brandon a job.
Right.
And the owner said, okay.
They're going to let you practice hiring people on interns. So
sure.
That works.
Which is completely fine.
Uh-huh. So you were very impressed by this kid. There was one other candidate and you were impressed by him. Right.
I was also impressed by him.
Right.
But
this kid blew him out of the water.
I had to pick one over the other. And sure. I am learning about all these biases you get,
mm-hmm.
like recency bias or primacy bias. And recency bias is like if you interview 2 or 3 people, you are biased toward the last person you talk to because they're the most recent in your brain.
Right. And what was
primacy is you're biased by the first person.
Oh.
For some reason.
Whatever.
Like, no one else. You're always comparing the next person to the first person,
mm-hmm.
and they never live up or something like that.
How interesting.
It's like in comedy shows. You put your first opener and you put your last guy. They should be your strong suits, and everyone in between doesn't necessarily matter.
Right. Just like you should sandwich your critique in between 2 compliments.
Okay. Because then the person will remember the compliments better.
Yeah, and be more inclined to be receptive to your critique. Continue. I'll be quiet.
So I have to go to HR because they're going to do the official paperwork on giving the offer. And here's the part that I don't like, because this is the first time of me doing this, and I have known for years we've had a drug test for getting the job. And it came about because some kid was running a press and then took a break and then went outside and smoked a bunch of pot and came back inside and tried to run the press again. And he like failed, like he couldn't figure out what buttons did what or whatever. And he called his manager over and he said, I need some help here. And his manager basically smelled pot on him. It wasn't that dumb, but he was making a dumb mistake.
And this is a few years back?
Lots of years back.
Uh-huh. And you've been with this company for how long?
11.
11 years. I'm just, you know, clearing it all for the listeners. Now, so 11 years you've been with the company. This happened maybe 5 or 6, you know.
Yeah, like probably that.
Right. So prior to that incident, there wasn't drug testing.
That's correct.
So when you were hired for the company, there wasn't drug testing.
Correct.
Not that you wouldn't have passed it, I guess, but.
I would have, but yeah, there wasn't.
Okay, interesting. Continue.
So I sit in the offer room and the HR is going over with Brandon all of the paperwork, and she says, blah, 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 and blah, 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 and you start on Monday at this time, blah, 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 and if you want to accept the offer, you sign this, and this is all contingent on the drug test. And I feel very dirty because I'm sitting there and, like, I have no control over this.
When did you first, like, kind of remember throughout this process when you were like, ah, shit, this is going to take a drug test?
I knew the whole time.
I know you knew, but when did it enter your mind that it, like,
it's
might be a snag?
It's always been in my mind.
Okay.
It was in my mind the whole time, because this is a constant thing that's happening. And so, for example, I said that Jillian is getting a lot of applications because she passed this one to me. She recently also had someone who had to go through the drug test.
Just since this is a new thing for you to, like, be interviewing and whatever, assessing these people, I just didn't know how much that drug testing and stuff affected your, like, day-to-day or whatever.
It did affect me, and because I know that we've had problems with it before.
And so the interview, the whole assessment process from the time you met Brandon to when she said he had to get a drug test, how many days was that? Just a couple days?
I'm pretty sure that I met Brandon for the first time on Monday. Mm-hmm. Having him come in for an interview. I talked to my boss on Tuesday about him. My boss said, okay, offer him a job. He came back on Wednesday, got the job offer as well as the information
All
about
right.
the drug test.
So really just 3 days or so.
Yeah, I fall in love quick. So 2 days, 3 days, whatever. So he comes in.
Hashtag tell me something I don't know. Go ahead.
HR tells him, here's the drug test. And he goes, oh, okay, cool. And I'm like, oh, he's playing it off. Maybe it's going to be fine. So some people, when they hear about the drug test, they go, I figured. And they pretty much just give up mentally at that point because they know they've been smoking that pot. Or weed.
Usually they're not college educated, though.
No, this happens to interns, too. This happens to everyone.
I just mean... All right. No, I get it. I just mean that they have such a, like, a negative reaction, or like an on the spot or reaction. I might get red in the face if I thought I was guilty, but I wouldn't say something stupid out loud.
Right.
Like,
maybe I'm overreacting because this was my first time seeing it. So the only stories I've heard have been third party.
Okay.
So I go, all right, I'll walk him out. And I walk him out. And I go, as soon as we get out the door, I go, I'm really sorry about that drug test part. I'm not allowed to talk about it, though, beforehand.
Right.
Some companies do. Come, they write out in their ad, they say, contingent on drug test.
Yeah, that is pretty scummy if he had no idea beforehand. I mean.
Yeah, why are we doing this? It's pissing me off.
See, you've told me a little bit about this whole story of yours before right now, just a little bit. But, and so I know, obviously, if you're, like, in the interview process, obviously you're not allowed to, like, warn him about it. But I didn't realize that it wasn't in his paperwork or whatever. So I didn't realize that part.
We surprise people with it.
That's terrible.
I don't know how normal that is.
I don't know about internships, but for employment, I mean, they're making everything. They're not letting, I mean, they're passing laws left and right in all these states that you can't give all kinds of certain pre-employment questions. Like right now, just yesterday or something, they passed in New York that you can't even ask people about their previous salaries to try and...
I heard about that, yeah.
Diminish that wage gap from women. I think that makes a lot of sense because that'll put the primacy, recency, some
kind
of bias.
Do you think that law makes sense?
I don't... Yeah, more so than like not asking. Yeah, whatever. Sure, every business should be able to do whatever they want. Totally.
That's not what I'm saying necessarily.
No, I do. Obviously, I do feel that way. But I think that it's more nice motivations behind that than like a lots of other stuff. Anyway.
A lot of times, well, I guess if a company doesn't ask, you're still allowed to offer maybe. I don't know what the law was.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these laws are like if someone walks in and says, hey, I'm about to have a baby in like a week. You're legally not allowed to consider that information.
Uh-huh.
But a lot of times, previous salary will actually help your case. Because if your previous salary has been high, people will oftentimes go, oh, that's pretty good. I will give you a high salary.
Sure. I mean, I think it seems... I don't mind it so much because it isn't at all necessarily anything to do with your merit, like, or a job well done or whatever, right? Like, you could be making a very crummy wage and be busting your ass and have nice, good, like, whatever, reviews or recommendation letters. And that's why it doesn't bother me so much, because it really is, to a large extent, irrelevant to your achievements.
Okay. So I'm walking Brandon out. I get to the door. I go, I'm sorry about that drug test, but I'm not a salad to tell you. And he said, yeah, I figured. And he says, so about that, let's say a bunch of us smoked pot last night. It's not that big of a deal, right? And I go, I'm not allowed to comment on that. Good luck. And he goes, okay, this convo never happened. And we turn our backs and I walk away from him for the last time. Because a half hour later... maybe even not even, not, sorry,
it's
not
greatest,
a half hour. Probably
greatest
like,
tragedy of all time.
Probably like an hour and a half. Well, first of all, I go back into my office and I go, God damn it, Jillian.
How big is this HR department with 33 people in the whole freaking company?
One, two people.
Heather and Jillian.
No. Jillian's not part of the HR department.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Jillian's just my
She's
work
recruiting
friend.
The people.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. Sorry.
It's me, Adam, and like Jillian's my work friend and Cecilia. Whatever. These people that are my friends.
Okay.
I know no one can believe that I would have friends at work, but I have like three or four. That's it. So anyway, I go back to Jillian and I say, it doesn't look like good news for Brandon. And then literally an hour later, HR grabs me and says, Nick, Brandon failed the drug test. And I
that
called him.
That is a quick turnaround time on the piss.
Yeah, I know. Because he had like 72 hours to get there. He literally drove right there to fail.
Right. But no. He could obviously easily do that and want to get it out of the way. For them to get the results that quick, I find that fast.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know how it works. I guess they just call right in and go.
I've worked for corporations, right? You'd think they have their shit together. You go for a drug test, normally when I've gone for drug tests, no, you got to wait a few days to get any results. I cannot believe they were instantaneous like that. Chat right in. Who cares? It's funny, though, that this kid does seem so smart and you're so impressed with him. And then he acts like a naive 10-year-old when he's walking out the door with you, like, this is not a big deal, right? Like, that seems contradictory to what the impression I had of him. Like, I mean,
I can't.
I'm not insulting him. I was just surprised to hear that he said that to you.
I can't ascribe a tone to his comment, right? Because
right.
I'm not going to be good at translating that.
Right, but you did say pretty much verbatim what he said. So let's say, in theory, a bunch of us smoked some weed last night. That's not that big of a deal, right? Like, first of all, how do you know? You're not a scientist in there with the urine.
I did actually say to him, I'm not a scientist.
Right. I mean,
because I don't know what's going to make him pass the test or not.
And I gave you some input on it based on what I've heard from other chronic dope smokers. Chronic. Nick can't fault me for that one being level one because he's a square. So I don't know enough about it. I'm not a scientist either, but from what I've heard about seasoned drug test takers and their marijuana habits, I know a little bit about it because of that. But I'm surprised if this kid was so bright that he wouldn't even have an inclination to maybe be wary of that in the first place. I'm disappointed, not in his character, but just the whole thing.
Meaning that he didn't have the foresight that a company trying to hire him might have a drug test?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it's just a bummer all around.
I know, because I was very excited because I do need the help in the department.
And I'm taking
some vacations soon, and I need this coverage because Adam's leaving, and no one seems to care that my work is just not going to get done if I don't have a worker.
You should do an ultimatum with your boss man and be like, listen, you let this kid in, please, or...
I'm off to Grand Rapids.
Or I am shutting these phones down permanently.
Yeah, I'm pulling that CF card from the phone system, and I'm not returning. I'm grinding it. shredding it? I don't know.
Anyway, so sorry, finish. So they tell you that he failed it like basically 10 minutes after he peed in the cup.
Uh-huh. Yeah, basically. And she's like, yep, he failed it. And I called him and he said, I understand. And I bitched at her for a bit, but what am I going to do?
So you were wicked friends by that point, you and he, because you called him or like you have each other's numbers.
Well, you're getting ahead of you're getting ahead, but.
Oh, no. So you said you called him.
I didn't say that on the show.
You literally just said, so I called him.
Yeah, I called him on the work phone as a part of official business. Okay, fine.
Sorry. Yeah. All right. I was reacting instinctively. Go ahead.
And I'm very upset. I'm very upset for the rest of the day because there's no point in this. I can almost see the argument for drug testing someone who's going to run a press. I still think it's stupid, but I can see the argument. But this man, I just need to be installing computers and printers. Done. Whatever. So that night, I actually text him. And I go, because I feel so bad. I don't feel bad on his behalf. I feel bad on my behalf. I really wanted a worker.
You texted him? That's hot.
I go, sorry about that. You didn't even try to fake it, I see. I have expressed my firm displeasure to HR over this procedure we have.
Firm displeasure, also hot.
Yes. And he writes back, honesty is my best and worst policy, I'm afraid. I can never bring myself to lie, even if it's for my benefit.
So fucking virtuous. Abraham Lincoln over here or whatever.
I greatly appreciate your consideration for the position, though, Nick. P.S. I am displeased by the procedure as well, but my own actions bring about my own consequences, and I accept them. So we're going to have him on the show soon. What do you guys think?
Oh, is that confirmed?
No, it's not. But do you think we should? We can message him again and be like, hey, by the way, I do a show now that you're not my employee. Do you want to hang out?
Yeah,
do
I mean,
the show?
Assuming...
And suck each other's dicks. Wait. Boop.
Hey, whatever you feel like doing. Do whatever makes you happy. But no, I don't know. I haven't seen this kid in person, so I can't actually make a judgment on that scenario. Right this moment. But yeah, if you guys are tight and have and he's surely he's probably better on the microphone than me than I am. I don't know, he sounds articulate and whatever.
Well, that's my story of the drug test.
I don't know, what other interesting qualities does he have? Yeah, I'd be excited. Are we allowed to have children in here? Just kidding. I guess he's a grown-up.
The California woman has... Sorry,
wait,
go ahead.
Sorry, last thing. No, does he go to the Keene State College or some other college? Oh,
yes.
Okay. Surely they're all smoking dope.
Exactly. Why are we drug testing them?
All right, yeah, have him on the show. I can't wait.
All right, we'll have him. It'll be weird.
You should have him.
Because I've only met him literally twice and talked to him on the phone once for the job.
But you think he'd say yes? You think he seems like totally amicable to that kind of thing?
Probably.
Have Andrew do it. Andrew's got that gift of the gab. He'll do the hard
sell.
Yeah, he'll definitely sell. But you should have him and Adam and all of them.
As an Adam going away party. We'll have him and we'll have Adam and the kid that got not even hired, Brandon.
Yeah, as long as I can be here and take pictures.
A California woman has been charged with murder for not putting her daughter in a car seat before a fatal crash on a winding mountain road. Kristen, who is 23, left the baby unrestrained in a two-seater sports car. Basically, just put her on the passenger seat or something.
Wow. Well, of course, when we were kids, this was perfectly acceptable. But sports car, huh? Zipping around this mountain.
Willfully placed her in the place of danger.
This sounds like a Casey Anthony scenario.
When she made the decision to ride in a two-seat Porsche on SR-74, which I assume is a road.
State road, I think, or scenic road.
Route, probably, without taking any precautions for the safety of the five-month-old. Murder charges were filed Thursday against Lauer.
5 months, that is little. How's it supposed to even, it can't even sit up by itself.
A county judge has issued a warrant for her arrest. Well, you don't expect to crash. When you put your five-month-old down, you expect it to be fine.
Yeah, in the woods or whatever, like a Spartan.
The crash occurred May 1st, 2016. Now, here's the interesting part. Lauer and her baby were riding in a Porsche that the baby's father was driving.
Why is that especially interesting? Oh, because she's charged with it.
She wasn't even driving.
Well, why is she being charged and not the father?
Exactly.
Well, I don't know.
Because she's the mom.
Is it getting to the point of the story that... No. Come on.
Hang on. Uh-huh. The car plowed through a barrier and careened 200 feet down a cliff. The infant was flung from the vehicle and killed.
Was there... What do you call it? when the roof comes off of the sports car.
Was it a convertible?
Yeah.
I don't know.
The kid just goes flying right out of the car.
The father was arrested and charged with murder within a week of the crash.
Oh, okay.
He has remained in jail and since then is scheduled for another court. So he's also charged with murder.
Right.
Okay.
Lauer, who was more seriously injured, was airlifted to a hospital. Until this week, it had been unclear if authorities planned to prosecute her at all.
Right. She had to recover first.
Oh. She has been charged with a lesser felony. She's also been charged with a lesser felony of child cruelty.
Yeah. Reckless endangerment. He probably has reckless, willful, and murder and all the rest of it, right?
Okay. So very good. So he got charged with murder, and then she got charged with murder,
that
too.
Story reminds me of the recent story with the airplane, just that there is some kind of debate, you know, whatever. The story itself isn't that too terribly interesting, but these people were trying to put their kid in a car seat on the plane. Have you ever seen this? You've flown a lot, or probably more than I have. I don't know. You know, you're
talking about the Delta family that got kicked off because the baby got put in a seat that wasn't assigned to it.
Right. But that's not the aspect of the story that I'm trying to talk about.
Okay.
I'm just talking about like having the car seat in the plane itself. Obviously, if we're all on the plane, the car seat's not helping us. Like it might in a real car. Right. But
and the car crashes the plane crashed. Thank God that baby had a car seat.
Right.
It flew it and bounced perfectly.
But I am curious, and I haven't done the research because according to FAA, whatever, it recommends that you put these kids in the car seat.
Probably.
At least under two or whatever. But 5 months, I don't know if this baby must have been sitting on her lap.
Well, there's a certain size baby that you can just hold on the plane, and it's fine.
Right. And so, I think I don't know. I think you're allowed to hold them all the time if you don't have a car seat.
All the time? I mean, my mom can't hold me on a plane, and it counts.
Excuse me. I mean, like, infants or whatever. You can either hold it or have the car seat, okay. I guess. I don't know. Sorry. Kind of a tangent. But for a 5 month, I was picturing this woman that we just talked about this story, her driving the car, right? And then the 5-month-old baby just, like, flopping, chilling on the seat next to
her. Oh, yeah. That sounds like what it was.
Right. But now the dad was driving, so surely this child must have been on her lap, which...
Nah, she was probably texting. She probably put the baby down and was texting.
No, she had it in her lap. I don't think any of them should be in jail. That's absurd.
It says she was in the car seat. It says she was sitting on the...
As long as the kid wasn't like... Well, obviously, there's no way to prove it if it went down a cliff, I guess. Unless the kid was in a trunk, in the trunk, in which case it probably would have been fine.
Oh, my goodness.
That would have been the safest play for that baby.
She made the decision to...
A little girl was killed in a crash involving a car that went off of Highway 74.
No wonder we didn't play that. What a weird guy.
Well, you know, I mean, people also used to get
left
away...
the baby unrestrained. That implies that she left the baby.
No, I don't think that implies anything. If it was in her... My mother used to put me in the basket at the on the foot of the passenger side of the car. I mean, but also...
In a basket? Like a grocery shopping basket?
A bassinet or whatever. Like...
Oh, a bassinet.
Yeah, it's a basket, right? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know either. It sounds like basket. Anyway, I don't know. But people also used to like get away with drunk driving and killing people. And people just used to be like, yeah, it was a sad accident. So I don't know. How much is too much, people? You should be able to not restrain your child, right? But this sounds like they kind of tried to kill the kid, no?
I'm sure they didn't try to kill the
kid.
With
all those elements on that windy road?
That would be a lot of risk to put yourself in just to kill your kid when you could just leave it in the hot sun.
Remember that story? Well, yeah, you're right.
Right.
But then you don't have
people.
To Google how to leave your kid in the hot sun.
Oh, goodness.
Okay.
After paying between $1,000 and $12,000, which included a flight from Miami to the island of Exuma in the Bahamas, in addition to a series of concerts, hundreds of participants cited chaos at the scene.
Did they make up this island just for this event? Because that sounds fake.
With some saying they were robbed, they had to fight over food, and were made to sleep in a refugee camp-like conditions. Hardly the luxury experience.
They were doing a reality TV show. Watch. It was all just they didn't know.
Yesterday was a very challenging day for all of us, the Fyre Festival organizers said. Billy McFarlane and Ja Rule started a partnership over a mutual interest in technology, the ocean, and rap music. This unique combination, blah, blah, blah. We could create a new type of music festival and experience on a remote island, but they simply weren't ready for what happened next or how big this thing would get. So basically, a bunch of people signed up for a festival that was supposed to be taking place on an island. And go ahead.
So I haven't heard much about this. All I've heard is that it's... the target market or whoever the hell paid for this was, quote, rich millennials. And so I find it very funny, the thing you just read, that they were forced to like fight for food or whatever. I'm picturing like, because I've been to Coachella once, and it was like all these rich whatever people who are like very...
Well, $1,000 to $12,000 to get there.
Right, very pampered, whatever. And so I would love to see these people. This sounds like it would have been a great reality show.
This is not, this is not your downtown Boston concert. So here's a quick video. It's very short, of someone taking a cell phone video of what's going on.
Dude, I need some food. I need some food.
You can't get food. Stop being a jerk.
Give me some food.
Why did they not? This is, reminds me of the Bible story that we read on Easter, and you were where Jesus had to feed the 5,000.
Yes,
they were, and you actually made the. Now I'm thinking of it. The analogy of, it's like going to a concert and not bringing any food. To be fair, those spectators of Jesus were pretty foolish not to bring food with them. What these people expect to be, was this part of the package deal? They were promised food.
The dinner that the Fyre Festival promised us was catered by Steven Starr and is literally bread, cheese, and salad. So there's a picture that someone took of the dinner that they got posted, and I have it up on the screen here. It's like a lettuce
that looks like jail food,
a slice of tomato, and two pieces of bread and two slices of cheese.
It's wheat bread. The bread is it's jail food, kids, in styrofoam.
So anyway, look this up, guys. I'm not going to be able to do the whole thing. But the Fyre Festival, everyone went to this island, and then all of a sudden, there was no festival. It was just people on the Hunger Games.
And so you mentioned Ja Rule, who I actually don't know who that is. It's a black fella, I guess. I know nothing about him. But who was it a big lineup of famous artists?
It was supposed to be, but apparently, like, either they all or it sounds like they all just dropped out.
I haven't
heard.
Festival
didn't even happen.
Anyone mentioned? No, but the people who paid for it were there. I just haven't heard anyone mentioned who was supposedly going to be an artist.
Oh yeah, I don't know.
All right,
sorry.
Very strange.
Is it in this article at all? This is part of News with Nick, by the way, where I just scroll articles and read for information.
Exuma in the Bahamas, huh? People from the Bahamas are called Bahamian, not to be confused with Bohemian, which is nearer to Espresso D, I believe, somewhere.
Organizers said that the Fyre Festival would take place in 2018 now, with people who are more seasoned event experts. So basically, they tried to put on an event and they went in over their head, is the theory. Other people's theories are, well, is the excuse. Other people's theories are, it was just a scam to get money. But that seems like a pretty high-profile scam if you're going to be doing that.
They should have hired the Hells Angels. Heyo.
Marathon stands as the holy grail for runners, but it's closer. The two-hour marathon stands as the holy grail for runners, but it's closer than it's ever been. Eliud Kipchoge of Kenya fell just short of breaking the two-hour barrier. The Olympic marathon champion finished the Nike-sponsored Breaking 2 attempt with a time of 2 hours, rather, 24 seconds in Monza, Italy. The event.
So this is a big thing that's been happening in the running community. Nike is putting a lot of effort into getting a man to be able to run 26.2 miles in under 2 hours. And so this man this morning, this is breaking this morning, they basically said, okay, we're going to pick a day. It's going to have optimal weather conditions. We're going to start at like 4 a.m., so it's real cool. On top of that, we're going to have a car that's pacing him, and then we're going to have a bunch of runners that run in front of the people who are trying to break the record, and they're breaking the wind, basically. They're doing the wind resistance breaking, and so they switch in and out. So every lap or two around this, whatever, 2-point-something K route, they'll switch in these fast runners that are fast enough that they can run that fast for, 3 miles or so.
Right.
But they can't run that fast for the whole way. And they just run in front of this guy and break the wind for him.
That's pretty cool. That's crazy. That's pretty minute. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Can I just see that one more time?
What are we looking at?
I want to see the place in Italy so I can look that up, that why this is the chosen location. I'm going to look at the map. Monza, Italy. We'll see.
With a time of 2 hours, rather, 24 seconds in Monza, Italy. The event used a team of scientists to help maximize conditions for potentially breaking the two-hour mark. Kipchoge and two other marathoners wore the very latest running gear, including cutting-edge clothing and shoes by Nike. Until now,
so everyone's like, of course, it's a Nike marketing stunt.
Right, so what's the point? Yeah.
Well, okay. Duh.
Yeah. very interesting, though. Still, I mean, obviously, this guy surely has run. It doesn't mean he's the world's best runner or whatever, but I wonder how much or whatever. Do you think he got paid, or they just gets him fame?
Oh, I'm sure he's getting.
Whatever.
Maybe he just got free shoes. I don't know.
free shoes for his whole village.
So basically, it is the fastest anyone has ever run a marathon. And so people are saying, oh, so there's a new world record in the marathon. Well, no.
So the goal was to have it be at 2 hours. That was their whole point. But yeah. They only went over by 25 seconds.
That's correct.
Very cool. Okay.
So they got a lot closer than anyone actually expected.
So not a world record because why?
So the 2 hour, 25 second would not be a world record. It would be a world record in the marathon with an asterisk or whatever because of the fact that they use these pacers, they use this car. Basically, to get a world record, you have to have done it in competition. You have to have done it using the marathon rules, where marathon rules state you can't be having pacers come in and out.
Right. And I've been... Right, and Nike obviously wasn't pretending that it was going to be a world record. But what is the world record, please, for a normal... marathon criteria?
2 hours, 2 minutes, and 57 seconds.
All right. Fascinating. And who holds that record, Nick?
Dennis Kinette.
From?
Set in Berlin. Well, I don't know where he's from.
Mm. Set in Berlin when?
He was set in Berlin in 2014.
Okay.
That's it.
That was it, huh?
I have no other information. Do you have any other news? Let's see what the chat's saying. So you've turned off your mic, so I'm going to assume that means no. You said breaking wind, but you don't have a sound drop for that. Lame. Get puke in here. Haha, nice, the chat says. All right, chatters, thank you for coming out for the News with Nick show. We're going to have Bridget check and see if there's any other additional content that we need to be covering.
Not at the moment. I mean, you know, we can always chime in after if people are still hanging around with random thoughts, but I guess you're hungry.
Uh-huh.
So cool. Nice to see everyone in the chat. Thanks so much for your thoughtful messages. Remembering my ages-old drops that had their time and place. Thanks for repping me with those, kids. Meyer, it was. Yeah, Bradley, thank you. Thank you for remembering all my efforts.
Okay, thank you for coming out, Bridget, to the News with Nick show and giving our commentary as needed.
Thank you. I'm happy to fly in anytime.
Yes. And PCL subscribers, thanks for continuing to subscribe even through hiatus. It's been News with Nick.